Welcome back to The Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church located in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and once again, it's a joy to be with you. This week we are exploring, as we come into Advent, week two of Advent, we're exploring what it is to go deeper with our faith, a lovely metaphor of a ship crossing the sea, and rather than just skimming the surface all the way across, what if we were to stop and drop anchor and jump into the water, to dive down deep as we can to explore the reefs below and all the beauty and glory that is contained therein. We hope you enjoy.
Change our understanding of God's provision for us, our families, friends, and strangers alike. Where is the justice in it all? It is in this season of want that we encounter a reading from the book of Isaiah on this second Sunday of Advent. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Reads like this. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hold of the asp. And the weaned child shall put its hand in the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Our God is a God of justice. We too are a people of justice, and inequality will not rule our land. The poor will live with the rich, the adult will learn with the child, and God's provision will be enough. We light this candle today to provide a reminder that even a small flame is enough to cast light all around us. Assurance that our work for justice can speak with the voice of God. And so we offer this mysterious prayer, and I'm going to ask you to repeat these words with me. Lord Jesus, quickly come. Lord Jesus, quickly come.
To offer to us, to the world, a planet called paradise. A gift in which God would dwell with the creation, and God in which God would dwell with the people, living with them in every moment. But soon people wanted more than they had been given. They wanted everything. And they fought each other for what they didn't have. And they turned their backs on God, and they pushed people away, and they started to worship themselves. And they built great monuments to themselves, and they worshiped their achievements and their accomplishments. And they built countries, and they even worshiped those countries and their leaders as if they and their leaders were God's gift to the world. And God's heart was broken. God realized something had to change, a new plan, an intimate new plan, a family of people who would grow together with God, knowing God, being God's salt, being God's gift to the world, being God's light to the world. And there was a man named Abram who lived in the Sumerian city of Ur, which is now in Iraq. And God came to him and said, Abram, I have a plan. We're going to build a family. And Abram said, God, I'm 75 years old. My wife can't have children, and she's way past the bearing of children years. And God said, Abram, trust me. Get up and take your family and follow me to the land of Canaan. And Abram did. And while he didn't have children, he did have family, and his brother Lot was with them. And Abram and Lot settled, and they prospered. And Lot found himself living in a city called Sodom, a city that wasn't a very pleasant place to be. In fact, it was so unpleasant that God said, this place can no longer stand. An angel was sent to Lot and said, Lot, tell your children to leave. Leave this place because tomorrow it will be destroyed. And Lot told his sons, and the sons laughed. Dad, you're joking. But he wasn't joking. And Lot tells his daughter and his wife, and he says to them, God says, don't even look back. Just go. And Lot's wife looks back, and she stays permanently. And Lot and his daughters find a place to live in the town of Zoar. Actually, not in the town, but in the mountainous region around Zoar in a cave. Because Lot is terrified of having anything to do with the city ever again. And he tells his daughters, you will have nothing to do with towns or communities because we can't trust anybody. And the daughters were beside themselves with agony because this meant there would be no children. And in one of those incredible stories that the Bible offers us, they get their dad drunk and sleep with him. And the first to be born is named Moab. And Moab is the father of the Moabites. And the second to be born is Ben-Ammi. And Ben-Ammi is the father of the Ammonites. Eventually, this family grows to be a people. And God calls this people into the wilderness, and the promised land is laid out before them. But Moses knows he will not be going with his people into the promised land. And he's desperate to give them final instructions so they won't turn their backs on God again. And as he's reciting these instructions, offering his final sermon to the people, he says, "Those born of an illicit union shall not be admitted into the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of their descendants shall be admitted into the presence of God. No Ammonite or Moabite shall be admitted. And none of their descendants shall ever enter the assembly of God. And you shall never promote their welfare or their prosperity as long as you shall live." A generation or two pass. Joshua, who led the Israelites into the promised land, dies. And the era of the judges begin. And in the time of the judges, there was a tremendous drought and famine. And Elimelech was desperate for food. So Elimelech takes his wife Naomi, and they go to the land of Moab. There had been rumors of rain and heavy harvests in Moab, and food there was better than starving here, so they went. And they had two boys. And the boys married Moabite women. And then Elimelech died, and one right after the other, the boys died. And Naomi was left wondering how she is going to survive. And she hears the rumors that the crops have been good in Bethlehem. So she tells her daughters, "Go back to your families. At least you'll be able to eat here. I'm going back to see if I can find family." And Ruth clings to her and won't let her go by herself. And Ruth and Naomi make the very dangerous journey back to Bethlehem. And they do find people that will give them shelter. And Ruth goes out to find food and finds Boaz. And Boaz falls in love with her, and they are married, and they have a child. And the women that have given Naomi shelter rejoice, and they see this child as Naomi's own child. "Naomi, you don't have to worry anymore. You now have a son." And they danced and they sang, and they named him Obed. And Obed became the father of Jesse, and Jesse became the father of David. What are we to do with a story that says David is a third generation son of a Moabite whom Moses said would never, ever, ever, ever be allowed into the assembly of the Lord? What are we to do with the fact that Jesus himself is a descendant of Moabites who were never, ever, 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 ever to be admitted into the assembly of the Lord? Personally, I thank God for that gift. I thank God for the gift of Scripture. And in these worship services, we read Scripture and offer a final saying. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God, because that's what it is, a gift. It isn't a rule book. It isn't a book in which we are supposed to follow every single rule. No, it's a treasure. It's a library of love stories written by people who had intimate relationships with God and were inspired to write about it. And often at this time of year, pastors will tell their congregations, "It's time to read the Bible all the way through, start to finish, one more time." And they give you the Bible reading lesson plan, and you follow the calendar through the year. And my question is, why do we do that to ourselves? It's like a ship starting in one port and looking across the ocean, seeing a port so far away you don't even know how you're going to get there, so you just set sail. And it's good once or twice to make that journey, because as you make that journey, you see the context. You see how the stories are interrelated, and you see what's on the surface. But as we mature in our relationship with God, God doesn't want us to stay on the surface anymore. God wants us to drop anchor and immerse ourselves the Scripture. Not reading like a ship just sailing on the surface, but stopping and going deep below the surface with God, letting God take us down deep to the reefs and see the glorious life that is there. As a way of immersing ourselves in Scripture, a practice, an ancient technique called Lectio Divina, is taking a paragraph and setting aside 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Grab your iPhone, say, hey, Siri, set an alarm for 10 minutes. Put the phone down and focus on that paragraph. And as all of the thoughts bombard us, what that woman said to me, why did she say that to me? I can't believe she said that to me. My boss, why do you push him away and go back to the scripture? And if the thoughts will keep coming, keep gently pushing them away and focus on the words of the text. And God will reveal a phrase or a word. Not every time. There will be dry times. There will be times when we are just amazed that nothing is there. And it is at those times we are learning to take deep breaths and hold our breaths waiting for God as we go deeper and deeper into the immersion. But sometimes words come up and we say, I never saw that before. How did I never see that before? Write that down on a post-it note, stick it on your phone, put the phone in your pocket, and all day long, every time you touch your phone, ponder those words. As I did that, studying the text for today, the Isaiah text that you heard earlier, the first phrase that really struck me was the stump of Jesse. Why on earth did Isaiah point out the stump of Jesse? And I pondered that for 2 days. Stump of Jesse. Why stump of Jesse? Why not stump of David? Why in the world would he use Jesse's name when Jesse disappears after the book of 1 Kings? Maybe God wants me to look at David's ancestry, and that story came together today. The second phrase, powerful phrase, is one of those, I never saw that before. Out of that stump, a branch will grow. And upon him will rest the Spirit of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see. And he will not discern by what his ears hear. Instead, he will judge with righteousness for the poor. And he will judge with equity for the downtrodden of the earth. Part of the family, taking the light of God into the world. Part of the family, taking the salt into the world, teaching others how God wants us to. For Advent, this time of waiting and preparation, I'm hoping you will all take this idea with you. If you took a year and read the Gospel of John paragraph by paragraph, you would learn more about God than if you read the Bible through 10 times in a row. In this time of Advent, read paragraph by paragraph, drop anchor, go deep, and see where God takes you. I propose Colossians. Colossians is instructions for the people of God. Paul's instructions to the people of Colossae. And I ask that you read this with me. Perhaps you'll read chapter 3, verses 12 through 15 over and over again. Christ is all, and Christ is in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Be tolerant with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule. Go deep with that scripture and see if God, not if, but how God calls you to be part of the family, part of the salt and the light, the priests of God that go into the world. I'd like to close today with another prayer by Malcolm Guite, the gentleman who started with the video. Absolutely phenomenal poet. And he talks about the ground of being. The ground of being is a phrase, a description of God coined by Paul Tillich. Paul Tillich, one of the greatest philosophers and theologians of the 20th century, says God is in everything, in us, the ground of our being. But for the root of Christ to take place, to take deep root in us and to grow, we have to cultivate the ground. And this is my prayer for you, for from Malcolm Guy. Please pray with me. O primary source, O ground of being, you sprung us all from one deep hidden seed. We rose from a root invisible to all. We knew the virtues once of every weed. But severed from the roots of ritual, we surf the surface of a widescreen world and find no virtue in the virtual. We shrivel on the edges of a wood whose hearts we once inhabited with love. Now we have need of you, forgotten root, the stalk and stem of every living thing, whom once we worshipped in the sacred grove, but now is winter, now is withering. Unless we let you root us deep within, under you, the ground of being, wrapped us in.
Thanks once again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 each Sunday morning. We'd love to see you here. Grace and peace, y'all.